So we have seen that life is everywhere. It takes different forms, appearances. And it owes its origin in the divine, just like every element owes its origin. And its origin is in the force, conscious force of the divine that has built the worlds. In supermind, it takes the form of knowledge will. So knowledge, we can say, mind comes out of that. In the supermind, they are together. Supramental action, knowledge and will act together because it's omniscience and omnipotence together. But in the human creature, it begins to, there is a disparity between the two. So the knowledge element takes the form of mind, or the working of the mind derives itself from that, and the life element derives itself from the will with a capital W. It's a very interesting thing because normally we think that it is the mind which leads us, and it is true that at one level, mana prana sharir neta, mind leads. But does it lead, or does it throw a light? Which way we have to go? If you see carefully, mind is like a torch. I mean, provided we use it like a torch. Often it's, torch is there but no battery, torch is there but no bulb. That's a different thing. But let's say it's actually lit up. So it is like a torch which shows us where we have to go. But one cannot move one step unless the will also collaborates. Life goes where the will, even sometimes in contradiction to what the mind is telling us. So it is will that is secret in us. This is a strange thing that there is, through the educational system, I'm not speaking of here, I'm speaking of what happens everywhere. All emphasis is on the training of the mind. But nothing, not practically nothing, actually nothing on training of the will. But if you see the ancient education system, the whole emphasis was on the will to start with. So that's what brahmacharya meant. Brahmacharya was not just sexual continence. Brahmacharya is everything right from morning till night is directed towards that great goal. Now, of course, it has to start very early and it's very difficult. Times have changed in such a way that children grow up a little and revolt, so it takes time. But it starts with will. When Sri Aurobindo was asked that, is it, you know, you have such a wonderful mind and it's because of the mind that, he said, no, it's not the mind which took me to the yoga in this way, but the will. So whatever I willed, I was firm and determined with it that it has to be achieved. This is something we find in Sri Aurobindo. Of course, he has a wide orchestral mind. But the will, see with mother, will, determine. So it is the will which directs the fivefold panch pran movement of life itself. So that's why strengthening the will and eventually turning it and joining it to the divine will. Divine will, if it unites, it means practical omnipotence and practical omniscience. That's what supramental life will be. Not omnipotence as we understand that I'll do magic, whatever I feel like, I desire, I'll just get it. No, we won't need it because all the time, whatever we need in supramental life, more than that, life will give us. Because that's how the supramental creation operates. Right now, life has to struggle through desire self. But then in supramental life, the operation will be very different. So this is what we have read, and just to summarize it, page 198. Life then reveals itself as essentially the same everywhere, from the atom to man. So that's how we can connect with everything, which people didn't understand. They said they were worshipping nature and animism. When Lord Rama prays to Samudra, please give way, he doesn't listen. Then Lakshman, what does he say? Bhai bina hot na priti. He says, you are too good. Let me handle this situation. Ram first stops him. Then he says, okay, he doesn't understand. And then it manifests. Now this is not, this is reality, because everything is living at one level. The mountain is living, and people who are like travelers to mountain, they understand it. They say, when they use the word mountain is calling me, or when they go to the mountain, they sort of kind of pray. That's how it was that when you enter a village, you pray to the Grama Devata. All should be fine. Maybe Corona is going around, but please spare me. I have prayed to you. So everything is living. So life is then reveals itself as essentially the same everywhere. Essentially means as an energy which pushes things, dynamic impulsion from atom to man. The atom containing the subconscious stuff and movement of being, which are released into consciousness in the animal, with plant life as a midway stage in the evolution. Life is really a universal operation of conscious force acting subconsciously on and in matter. So from Sachidanand, the Chit Tapas is life. So now we have the link which is Shobindu reveals to us. It is the operation that creates, maintains, destroys and recreates forms or bodies and attempts by play of nerve force. That is to say, by currents of interchange of stimulating energy to awake conscious sensation in those bodies. So this is an evolutionary process, but we should not mistake. Like some people think brain is mind. No, brain is not mind. Brain is an instrument used to express mind, certain aspects of the mind, which through evolution brain has been created. But equally, mind is everywhere. It is there in the cells. That's how these white cells go rushing. Whenever they get an SOS that there is infection, it's not like the mind has to become aware after seeing redness, then the mind has to tell the, there is a problem there, you have to go. No. Because they have a mind of their own. Sometimes that mind of the own can become a problem also. It goes on multiplying. So there is a mind of the cells, just as there is a mind of the atoms. And this mind of the cells also needs to convert. Because what does mind does? It fixes habit. So the cells are working in a certain way, fixed through millenniums. And if you tell the cells that, look here, you know what? We are into new creation. Please stop dying. This is a bad habit you have formed. The mind of the cells must be convinced first. Cells will say, my manager is still pushing me to death. What do I do? That's why that whole thing about mind of the cells, how the mother would convert, speak to these cells, that's for later. So in this operation, there are three stages. The lowest is that in which the vibration is still in the sleep of matter, entirely subconscious, so as to seem wholly mechanical. That's matter. The middle stage is that in which it becomes capable of a response, still subliminal, but on the verge of what we know as consciousness. That means in matter, in living forms like the plant life. The highest is that in which life develops conscious mentality in the form of a mentally perceptible sensation. Because it is consciousness force, so it releases consciousness. This force has gone into operation, and what is it doing? It's releasing consciousness step by step. So it's amazing. Because it is consciousness force, chit tapas, that has gone into everything. In the form of a mentally perceptible sensation, which in this transition becomes the basis for the development of sense, mind and intelligence. That's how evolution. It releases some more consciousness out of plant and animal. So, or in fact, in animal itself, sense mind begins to form. That's the manas of Indian psychology. What does it do? Sense mind receives impressions from the all through the senses. And it stores, and there is a kind of response based purely on the sensations. So when they say that नागिन छोड़ती नहीं है, बदला लेती है, सम ट्रूथ इनसाइड. बस कोबराज आर द फर्स्ट सर्पेंट्स इन होम रूडिमेंट्री ब्रेन एक्चुअली बिगिन्स टू डेवलप. सो वन कैन अंडरस्टैंड द फर्स्ट इम्पल्स, इवन ब्रेन स्ट्रक्चर वाइज वन कैन अंडरस्टैंड द रेप्टिलियन ब्रेन, दैट देर इज अ ब्रेन विच रिएक्ट्स टू स्टिमुलस इन दिस. So if you kill a pair, one of the pair, especially if the nag is gone, nagin will not leave. Huh? If you kill the nagin, maybe nag will go elsewhere. This is the irony of things. So, but I mean, story is apart, they dramatize it, but it's not altogether a fantasy. It's possible. Of course, all that Ikshadhari, Nag and all is, of course, a different story. But that's the whole how principle, because now consciousness is released. Cobras are very different from all the other serpents. If you look at it, it's a different, though it's a serpent, it, okay, one can see it is evolutionary. It's the one which will least harm you if you don't, you know. It usually scares you. And it's a serpent, a snake which eats all the other serpents. So it's a king. Remains in its own territory, in its own nest. Generally, they don't. Where all other creepy creatures, they are different. So they rudimentary. So this nerve sensation in the lower ones, then there is a sense mind. In the lower creature, there is just a sensation, nerve response, and then this mentality, which later on develops and becomes intelligence. In human beings, we analyze the sensation. We take one step further. And after analyzing, we make a reaction. That doesn't mean that the cobra brain is not there. We have the cobra brain, the monkey brain, and the human brain. And we don't know when the cobra brain will become active. It's there. It says, no, I'm not going to listen to other brains. I'm going to act. Nagin ka badla. So that's how all these three layers, how intelligence develops. It is in the middle stage that we catch the idea of life as distinguished from matter and mind, but in reality it is the same in all stages and always a middle term between mind and matter. So it is what feeds the mind as well as matter. In matter it goes to maintain the process and to disintegrate it when the purpose is over. That's how the operation of life. So it is conscious force. With that we'll stop. Last few lines on this page. It is therefore this nerve energy which we usually mean when we talk of life. Nerves are the actual focal points, because from nerves, just as we have physical nerves, they are subtle nerves which can feel. That's why in illnesses one can become suddenly, acutely, you know, too much cold or too much, because these nerves are frayed. So one begins to have strange sensations. In the mouth, in the taste, in the physical contact, in the smell. You others may not have, but one can taste and even smell infections. One can touch them almost. One can experience them, because the nerves, there are subtle nerves through which it is communicated into the physical nerves. So there is a interesting way of looking at the body. Constituent of the latter and instinct with the... down below. Nerve energy. It is the prana or life force of the Indian system, but nerve energy is only the form it takes in the animal being. The same pranic energy is present in all forms down to the atom, since everywhere it is the same in essence and everywhere it is the same operation of conscious force. Force supporting and modifying the substantial existence of its form. Mind has built the form. Energy goes, life energy, it modifies it. It makes matter crawl. Then it makes matter fly. It makes matter run. It makes matter think. So it keeps on modifying the form. Force with sense and mind secretly active, but at first involved in the form and preparing to emerge, then finally emerging from their involution. This is the whole significance of the omnipresent life that has manifested and inhabits the material universe. So life is present everywhere, potentially. Death is only a process of life. Still, we need to understand what death is. And so we have the next chapter, death, chapter 20, death, desire and incapacity. And very beautifully, Sri Aurobindo starts with this phrase from Brihadaranyak. In the beginning, all was covered by hunger, that is death. So it's very interesting that this is a phrase, well-known phrase, hunger, that is death. So what, it's an operation of life. It becomes death. Why? Because now life, in a limited form, by its nature it knows, it's just like mind, though limited, seeks to know. So it tries to gather all kinds of information, all kinds of ways, until it breaks through the lid by process of yoga, and then knowledge is accessible in a different mode. So also life seeks to expand, to grow. How does it do it? How does it sustain itself? So it starts drawing upon life that is around, feeds on other lives, and it is fed upon by other lives. Life energy. It's constantly going on. That's where we see a whole world opening before us. So when we eat vegetarian food, so it's not just about living and non-living. Vegetarian food has just the elementary layer of life. It's life which animates matter, like a layer of butter spread over a slice of bread. So it releases that life. When it is crushed, goes into the system. But we should not just crush it, crunch, crunch. We should offer it so that vegetable is also happy. That is going to the divine. So it will probably digest better. I don't know. But that's how it should be. But whatever it is, it releases that life energy into a system. And there would be material processes connected to it. It will release carbohydrates, protein. These are material components. And why they are material components? It doesn't mean that if you combine carbohydrate and some ghee, add to it and add something protein to it, anda bhurji, and you mix in fire, suddenly out of the anda chicken will come. It won't happen. That's not how it is created. It has got involved in matter through a process of evolutionary process. That's how it is. It is there, inbuilt within the system. So when we eat it, it releases. So it gives us that life energy which is required to sustain material existence. But when we eat chicken, chicken is, and fish is little different. Fishes don't probably, the last moment anguish little bit. Chicken, last moment anguish, and then one feeds it. So it gives a little extra. But if we eat proper animals, which is, you know, pigs, cow, any actually four-footed animal, dogs, cats, these are developed beings and in the scale of life. And when they are butchered, then they go through a lot of grief and anguish and pain, the experience. And there are some religions which even say that you must do it slowly, so more pain. So then when you eat this, so we are not absorbing just the life energy, but also life as this form of early primitive animal form. So we are absorbing that animal consciousness. That's why say no to halal and to jhatka. Say no to cow slaughter. There is a logic to it. And in fact, all this kind of animal, at the most, chicken and fish, if you are keen to have something in that form. Because higher animals, they go through this experience. Their blood contains, life energy is flowing into all this. That's why all sensible, developed beings don't do it. So then what is death? So death is a process of life. This life is feeding other lives and all the time. That's why it's a food chain. So we eat the animal. Animal eats the plant. Plant draws life energy from where? From the soil. Why? Another evidence. Because life is in it. So what does plant do? It draws from the soil minerals. And these minerals release the life energy which is there inside. And that's something very interesting and important, because nowadays we don't realize many illnesses may be simply multi-mineral deficiencies. These are life forces which are in it. So, because now every habit has got spoiled. So, it draws life from below. And that's why the mother says, even if you do the best, it draws energy ultimately from the inconscient. And therefore, it has its own effect of bringing tamas into the system. That's why after a good meal, the natural course is to take a good rest, siesta, because that's how it comes. And then there are all kinds of rules and regulations. So life eats and life is eaten. This is one reason why there is death, because ultimately, what does life in an individual do? It wants to expand, so it eats. Literally, one can eat another person's brain. You'll feel after some time that my brain has been chewed. You don't have the energy to think. It's not expressed like, but there is a truth behind all this. There are people who eat away the emotions. Or there are some who have a lot of emotional hunger, because that energy of life is emotion. So they seek someone or somebody on whom they can become very dependent. Almost parasitically, they draw life energy. Nothing is done consciously. We need not, you know, start looking for people or blaming them. But this is how it operates impersonally. That kind of almost like a leech-like, as they say, dependency. Because they need life energy to sustain themselves and they draw. But in the process, they also get eaten, because you are pitted against all life. And there is a very interesting story about it. And that all life will ultimately not let you do this. After some time, it will devour you. So this is a very interesting story, that there were these two demons called Vatapi and one more, I am forgetting the name. So, Atapi, Vatapi. Okay, so they used to do a trick. They would invite Brahmins, seers, sages, and then offer them food. And they had the Vidya that they could revive. Only between them they had this Vidya. If one of them dies, you can bring him out. So he would get reconstituted and come out. So it was Vatapi would be killed, served as quietly mixed in the meat, keema or whatever. And when the sage would eat, Atapi will say, Vatapi, come out. So Vatapi reconstitutes. When he comes out, the sage dies. So people say this is what they are doing, and they are devouring everything here and there. So Sage Agast says, I'll handle it. So one day he says, you have called all the people, I believe you are giving a party, you have not called me. He says, oh, they are now, big fish has come. Now you see, this is where the problem comes. Big fish. So they invite him, please come tomorrow. Now he chops Vatapi properly and says, now I am going to do this. I have got a sage, and all the Rakshasa Asuras in the other world will be very happy. And they serve to Agastya Rishi, he eats it. So then he does the mantra and says, Vatapi, come out. Nothing happens. Agastya releases a dakar, that's all. Again he says, Vatapi, come out. Nothing happens. Agastya Rishi is smiling. Third time he's nervous and recites the mantra and says, Vatapi, come out. Agastya Rishi says, I have digested him. End of the story. So you see, this life, when, see, Rakshasas, they say, no, they eat. So they devour. They are full of this hunger all the time. It takes different form, this hunger, in human beings. But ultimately, you cannot keep on expanding like that. You will collapse in that process. That's why when mother was asked, why does the divine give to Asura everything that is? He says, because that is the fastest way for him to collapse. And that is why, because this hunger that is death springs from the abyss. The inconscient life there struggles, strives, it wants. So this hunger and all hunger ultimately cannot be satisfied except for the divine, who alone is infinite. But this is a hunger for the infinite. And because it's a hunger for the infinite, we have to die and be reborn. So all these reasons for death, Shobhindo reveals to us on page 201. This supramental knowledge will is consciousness force rendered operative for the creation of forms of united being in an ordered harmony to which we give the name of world or universe. So also mind and life are the same consciousness force, the same knowledge will, but operating for the maintenance of distinctly individual forms in a sort of demarcation. So just as mind builds forms and then it is identified with the form and think, this is me, my standpoint is the only standpoint. Life also gets limited and demarcated and think, this is life. My life is the only life that matters and no other life matters at the primitive stages, early stages. But it will evolve, that we will see later. It is a sort of demarcation, opposition, an interchange in which the soul in each form of being works out its own mind and life as if they were separate from the others. Though in fact they are never separate, but they are play of the one soul, mind, life in different forms of its single reality. That's why when people live together, they begin to even physically sometimes grow resemblance for many years, but nowadays hardly anyone lives for so many years, but they understand each other. He said, because this grows. And because there is an interchange which takes place. So this interchange, they find a balance between the two. That's why sometimes it is said, if people are fighting, children sometimes come and say, kya kare, mummy, papa ladte rehte hain. So child thinks it's only my parents. So you have to tell every parent fights. So then first step is that, okay, he heaves a sigh of relief, every parents fight. What can I do to solve them? I said, don't even try it. You will mess it up. Why? Because they have developed their own harmony or order or disorderly order over years, decades. Now if you disturb that process, they have to discover some other means. So this is how that life, divorce and the balance it creates between one and the other. That's why the one argument which is not based on morality, but the argument against multiple partners is this. That with one partner when you interchange, you have developed a certain kind of order between the two people. This is a vital interchange which has taken place. But if you have this close vital interchange, it's not about partner, but about close vital interchange, then there can be a confusion, especially if it is chaotic, if it becomes with, you know, all kinds of things, then it becomes chaotic because now all kinds of close interchanges are taking place. That's why too much of socialization is not a healthy thing for spiritual life. Solitude is better. Because when we socialize too much, close contact, it begins to impact us. And just as we impact them. But very often for a developed consciousness, one is a loser. And the mother says, well, there are some people who like to give. They don't mind losing as long as there is a progress. But we should understand the dynamics of life operations. So here we are being revealed that. So though they are separate, there is ultimately one life. And it is true when people say, ek dil, ek jaan, ek whatever it is, soul. There is a truth in it, that because of this constant interchange, there is that kind of balance which comes. Because life is ultimately one, but it limits itself in a form. But it can equally get connected with other forms. So much so that if another person is dying, life in this form can get to know by some strange means that someone whom I love dearly is in trouble or distress. It can come to know because that's how they get connected. This strict demarcation is not there. Of course, these are not things to be deliberately tried as experiment and see. This is a natural process through which one discovers. And last two lines, life is the energy of the divine, continually generating itself in forms as in a dynamo, and not only playing with the ongoing battery of its shocks on surrounding forms of things, but receiving itself the incoming shocks of all life around as they pour in upon and penetrate the form from outside, from the environing universe. That's why some people have a problem when they go into crowds, or when they grow into certain kinds of crowds. Let's put it like that. This is a satsang. But they have certain problem when they go into all kinds of spaces, because they are filled with, and there is a logic to it. We should be careful what kind of life forms, and one can feel it. There are haunted places. One can feel that this is a place where some very sad event has taken place. And one feels some kind of energy there. What energy is it? Life energy, which is still persisting in that atmosphere. So all these are truths which should not scare us, but just for understanding. One should be afraid of nothing, because when we are connected with the divine, then divine is more than all life. It will absorb everything and take care of everything, but we should be sure that we are connected with the divine. Otherwise, we go through the normal process. Few lines below on page 202. So life also is not a separate entity or movement, but has all conscious force behind it in every one of its workings, and it is that conscious force alone which exists and acts in created things. Life is only its final operation, intermediary between mind and body. What does it mean? It means if I am sick, if the life energy is ebbing out, if this life energy can build a contact with the divine life energy, conscious force, it can change the balance. So when it is said that grace cures, the divine force cures, it is logical, it is again scientific. It's not something which is just an article of faith. It is scientific. But if it doesn't happen in all the cases, because if it starts acting randomly, that's a reason why universe has come into existence, delimitation has taken place, all that we'll see later. Because of the evolutionary process, the involution, that's all for later. But it doesn't happen all the time, always, because it can be dangerous. It's not, it'll upset the whole chain. But sometimes it happens, and that's how I see the story of Arjuna and Krishna on the chariot. The chariot is the body, and the horses are the steed. So after 18 days, when the war is over, then Sri Krishna tells Arjun, you come down. So Arjun tells Sri Krishna that, sir, but that's not the protocol of the Kshatriya. The Sarathi has to come down. Like we have, no, driver comes down and opens the door for the... He says, that's the protocol. Sri Krishna says, I've never followed any protocol. Protocol is for you, but as far as I am saying, you come down. He is not convinced, so he pushes. Arjun comes out. And as soon as Sri Krishna steps, the whole chariot goes into flames. So Arjun says, oh my God, what was this? He said, your chariot would have been destroyed long back. Don't you know? Karna, Bhishma, Drona, they have all hit it with deadly arrows. You know, your chariot never got broken. I was holding it. So that's how a body, which is given to the divine and divine service, mother would often ask when somebody would lose mind or have a problem, how would she, is the person going for work? Yes, mother. Okay, leave it. Because you are connecting with her. And if one is open to her, then that divine energy, divine force, mother's force, let's put it more personal, it will continue to act. And then yes, a time may come when one has to go. That's a different story that we will see. That when does one go and why does one go? For life is force, and force is power, and power is will, and will is the working of the master consciousness. So it is the will which is important. One doesn't die till this will withdraws. At one place, Mother says, the central will that holds the atoms together. When it withdraws and says, okay, then the rest of this. So such an importance of will, and how this will can be usurped and perverted. That's why death wish is so dangerous. Much later it may bring effect and make us sick. And then you say that, you know, why is God doing this to me? So sometimes I do ask, did you ever wish strongly that I die? One can observe one's own life. Haan, bahut aaya tha. Theek hai, then you are going through, go through, pray to her and go through it. All this will, of course, till the central will withdraws, the body will not disintegrate. So it is this will which holds the energy together, directs it along the path. Mind only flows with it. So you see now the whole equation is reversed. Mind makes the form and goes into it. It calls the life energy, goes into it. But this life energy, the will contained in it, it begins to drive the form, and mind has to flow. That's how things happen. So, page 204. For that would mean to be master of the all force. So, the life energy tries to become master, individual life energy. We'll read from the previous page. But though life is power, last two lines, and the growth of individual life means the growth of the individual power, still the mere fact of its being a divided, individualized life and force prevents it from really becoming master of its world, because it's limited. It's like a limited mind cannot know the supermind. It has to find ways and means of joining with it. For that would mean to be master of the all force, and it is impossible for a divided and individualized consciousness with a divided, individualized and therefore limited power and will to be master of the all force. Only the all will can be that, and the individual only, if at all, by becoming again one with the all will and therefore with the all force. Now we see the Ishopanishad. Tena taktena bhunjita magrida kasya siddhanam. Or vayurinil amritam achedam bhasmantam sariram om kratosmar pratam smar. Why? To surrender to the divine will is the most logical, common sense, rational, any right-thinking person would do. Because that means you are supported by that all will. But we want things our way. That's the problem. So we'll have a little bit on desire, but that's for tomorrow. We want it our way. But if we could say, Mother, your way. We deal my way or highway. No. Your way. Then see what happens. As Shubhendu is pointing out here, when it is possible, and the individual only, if one really wants to live in this world, you know what is that? To walk through life armored against all fear and peril and disaster. Only two things are needed, two that go always together. From your side, an inner state made up of faith, sincerity and surrender, and from the other side, the divine grace. So this only way that one can navigate through this world, the most practical means and the common sense way, practical, immensely practical, is to keep on what we have to do. Do it, because not tamas, whatever we think in our limited consciousness best, but immediately join the all will. Mother, this is yours. Result is yours. Let thy will be done. It's the best way to navigate through life. Because then the all will, his knowledge overrules our nescience. People spend a lot of time in trying to, what is mother's will inside me? Should I take up this job or that job? That's a long journey. It's possible, but that requires freedom from all preferences, all desires, everything. To be absolutely quiet. But this we can do. And then also it's the set of attitudes, as the mother says. But this is within us. that we take a decision based on what we think is our highest, which may be irrational highest, to step back, not to succumb to that rush, and then offer it to the divine will. Then she takes care, takes us through all that journey, through the whole Mahabharata, and takes us through life. So he says, if at all, by becoming again one with the all will, and therefore with the all force. Otherwise, the individual life in the individual form must be always subject to the three badges of its limitation: death, desire, and incapacity. Just a few lines on death. Death is imposed on the individual life both by the condition of its own existence and by its relation to the all force, which manifests itself in the universe. For the individual life is a particular play of energy specialized to constitute, maintain, energize, and finally to dissolve. The energy of life in the body has to support the attack of the energies external to it in the universe. It has to draw them in and feed upon them, and is itself being constantly devoured by them. All matter, according to the Upanishad, is food, and this is the formula annam brahmeti. And this is the formula of the material world, that the eater eating is himself eaten. Every time we eat, well, vegetable or anything, it has come from the inconscient. That's what the mother says, when you depend on purely material food. So inconscient takes it tax. We don't realize it. Scientists don't understand why this happens. And people also, that doctor saab, pura I took care. Forget about vegetable oil or this oil, I didn't take oil only. Why my lipids are high? That's the reason. So it's not just about regulating. You are taking material food, one form or the other. And that food which I am eating also eats me. It's a very amazing, great fact. So only solution as human beings we can do is to make it prasad. Everything should become prasad. That is the only way that we can do whatever. But even then, if we make it prasad, death will come. Why? Because if only I continue to live, bhaiya dusro ko bhi to chance dena. You know, there is a, in office when somebody doesn't retire, so what do other people do? They start wishing. If you don't want that others wish for your death, retire when you are alive. By retire, I mean prepare and pass on, not retire. Go into other fields. There are so many fields to live for and live by. Mother herself chose the way. When she handed over the ashram's material things, and then she started entering into yoga of the cells. That's the process. Otherwise, all life around will react. And I'm giving a very mundane example. But this is how it happens. People begin to curse and say, oh, budi ho gayi hai, buda ho gaya hai, dekho. Why? Because basically that life inside them is also wanting to experience that other experience which it is being denied. Why? Because one person is constantly occupying the royal chair. So all this is because individual life cannot be allowed all term throughout. There is nothing like that. And if we try to do that, we'll become only a titular figure run by all the life which is around. Why? Because we have not listened to the law of life itself. The energy of life in the body has to support. Okay. Eater eating himself is eaten. Not only so, but again in the language of the Upanishad, the life force is the food of the body and the body the food of the life force. In other words, the life energy in us both supplies the material by which the form is built up and constantly maintained and renewed, and is at the same time constantly using up the substantial form of itself, which it thus creates and keeps in existence. So we take food and we get energy. But equally, when this energy comes, it also feeds upon life. See, upon matter, the cells, they have to go through that process of degeneration. And so that's why fasting is never a good thing. Because when we fast, what does the body do? It needs energy. So it feeds upon the body cells. You think, ah, see, I can remain energetic. Of course, you are eating, you have become a non-veg. You are eating upon your body cells. Energy will be there, and after some time you will learn to practice 40 days fast. Because you have discovered a new balance. But moderation is what is required, rather than doing these kind of extreme things. Your life will feed. It knows how to feed upon the body cells. That's how body cells degenerate. So it releases energy, and this energy uses matter and then renews it. This is the process which goes on. If the balance between these two operations is imperfect or is disturbed, or if the ordered play of the different currents of life force is thrown out of gear, then disease and decay intervene and commence the process of disintegration. So the moment this creating a balance, life with matter and life with other life. But if this balance is disturbed, like when Puraniji went to America, I believe that mother told, you must take good care of the body, eat well, because they are very strong vital and they may eat you up. He actually died after a few years after returning. Very strong vital, there is no doubt about that. So you have to find ways and means to, you know, otherwise you will wither away. So this is why now, of course, body is changing, things are changing, but not going into that. And connectedness with the mother is ultimately what counts. So disease, decay and disintegration, that's why people don't much changing of environment. For there is an increasing demand of the life energy on the form, a demand which is in excess of the original system of supply and disturbs the original balance of supply and demand. That's why the life never ages. But what does it do? It starts eating up. So if you, after a certain point, if you start, because there is a law which governs the bodily existence, if you start taxing the body, what will life do? It will eat, it will push you, force you, but it will equally create a degeneration within the body. So because there is a balance which you are disturbing, so there is a balance which is maintained through the whole journey of life. Here Sri Aurobindo is not describing it in great detail. For there is an increasing demand of the life energy on the form. And then he says, last sentence, in addition, the attempt at mastery creates always a corresponding reaction in the environment life seeks to master, which is full of forces that also desire fulfillment and are therefore intolerant of, revolt against and attack the existence which seeks to master them. So this life feeds the mind, so there is a balance to be made. Life feeds the body, there is a balance to be made. It's the same energy. So life, conterminous with the world around, balance has to be made. And life seeking to master, again, because every life is seeking to master. If you try to change the other person will retort back. And then it creates conflict, opposition, confusion, and eventually disintegration. But all these are only the phenomenal causes of death. There is a deeper cause that we will read tomorrow. The real cause. Because all this can be handled. There can be a possibility that one can, say, isolate oneself. Like Swami Brahmanand, Sri Aurobindo, whom he met, and he was supposed to be living for 200 years. Or people speak about Mahavatar Babaji. Now it's, I don't know whether it's subtle physical or what, but it is possible. Most likely it is subtle physical. But Brahmananji was in the physical body. It's possible because he had reduced all contacts with others. It seems he opened the eyes only when he saw Sri Aurobindo. Otherwise for a long time he used to keep his eyes closed. So you don't interact, you don't get angry, you don't throw others, you don't try. So others also, you don't get that. You are subsisting on limited amount of food. So there is a balance. Much of inconscient is not being taken away. So though the body is going through aging process, which is a different story altogether, but you don't die. But that is not victory over death that Sri Aurobindo speaks of. So we'll speak about that a little bit tomorrow.